Keep the change, you filthy animal.
Where's the beef?
Hey, how you doing?
Hold on to your butt.
Feels like an Arby's snack.
Son of a... That's gonna leave a mark.
Chili, baby, back with...
Well, what if there is no tomorrow? There wasn't one today.
This is Tom and Jim's Top 5. Naming their top 5 lists on everything pop culture. Celebrating the 90s, sports, movies, music, and more. They're not authorities, just grown children. Here's your hosts, Tom Skull and Jim Doubt.
So, Jim, how come you never made it to the NBA?
I don't know if you know. You hear my voice a lot. I don't know if you know this, but I'm white.
What?
And I can't play basketball.
What about that Polish kid playing for Gonzaga? He's white.
Yeah, he's better than I am.
You know,
I was a terrible, terrible basketball player.
How long did you play? Like into your career?
Oh,
12 years old?
Sixth grade. Sixth grade.
I didn't play. I mean, I don't know if you noticed, Jim, I'm not the tallest person out there. So not.
What about Spud Webb? He made a whole career of it.
That's one guy. Him and Muggsy Bogues. Two guys.
Yep.
That did it. I'm not Spud Webb or Muggsy Bogues.
No, you're not.
No. Hey, Jim, we're recording, I think. Yeah, hold on. Oh, yeah, it is working. Oh, 2 for 2.
I'm sure it'll go down at some point.
Oh, yeah. This is going down. I put on airplane mode. I don't know if that helps. Anyway, hey, everybody. This is Tom from Tom and Jim's Top 5. I'm on the phone with Jim. Are you there?
Hi.
Hi, Jim.
Hey, buddy.
Oh, we're not on the phone. We're on Skype.
Or a internet program like Skype.
Yes, I'm sorry. Skype has yet to give us any advertising dollars. You know what would be great? Because I do have a lot of problems with this this laptop I'm using. I won't name it by name, Hewitt Packard. But I would love a new one. So if anyone's out there who wants to buy us a laptop, please go ahead. Can I say that? Am I allowed to say that?
You did.
I'm not gonna delete that. Anyway, Jim, how you been, buddy? I've missed you, huh?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good, Thomas.
How was your week?
It just started. It's Monday.
How was your week last week? Work with me here. Work with me. I'm on like 3.5 hours sleep, Jim. I'm a little tired.
It was good. We didn't do anything over the weekend.
No.
Watched that new show on Netflix I told you about, 13 Reasons Why.
Yes, I got it on. I put it on my watch list, so it's made it that far into the rotation.
Okay.
So it's in there. It's in the game. I gave it a jersey.
Good show.
Gave it a jersey, so it's ready to play. I you told me it was really good. I saw some people online talking about it too, and it's a fan favorite. People seem to like it.
Watch that. I think we watched... I feel like I watched a movie. I don't really remember. It didn't stand out, so it couldn't have been awesome.
Sweet.
I had Aaron Paul in it. The guy from Breaking Bad.
Yeah?
And his girlfriend disappears, and he's going to look for her in L.A., and she's like a government assassin.
He drives? Is that Drive?
No.
No.
That's the worst movie ever.
I've never seen it. It looked really dumb.
It has your boyfriend in it, Ryan Gosling.
That's one of the It's one of the Ryans, and he did.
Yeah,
and that one didn't make my list.
And Aaron Paul was in the Need for Speed, I think. Something.
Well, that's
like that.
That's what I was thinking of, and I didn't see that either. I played that PlayStation 1 game back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yep, me
which
too.
Which was fun.
When I was in college, Need for Speed Underground was really popular.
Yeah.
And you could just walk through the dorm and hear the opening, the Yin Yang Twins song being played in everybody's dorm room because it was the opening music to that game.
Oh, man. We'll have to do it. We'll have to do a top 5 PlayStation, original PlayStation games.
That's a good one.
But that's not what we're doing today.
No?
No? You were supposed to jump in there. No, today we are doing our top 5 superheroes.
Yes.
And this was
Superheroes.
Go ahead.
No, God, I'm sorry.
No,
stupid.
God. Stupid.
Stupid.
God.
This was difficult.
Yes.
Because I love comics. Mm-hmm. But not a lot of my favorite characters are superheroes. I have a lot of comic book characters that I like, but they're not all heroes per se.
Right. Well, when you said comics before, you say, "Hey, we're going to do comics." And I started making a list of stand-up comedians, and so I was way off on this one. So this,
Samsonite.
This is going to get weird. This was a suggestion from one of our listeners. Maurice suggested this, and I'm excited to do this one. I hope he's excited to hear it, so that's good. But before we get started, Jim, we had some comments. We actually had more comments this week than we've ever had total on stuff.
Wow.
Yeah, and all good comments.
That's surprising. It's even more surprising.
Yeah. Well, let me go down. Let me read them. These are news to you. You haven't even seen these comic. I think I sent you one of them, but, a couple from most of them. I think they're all from Facebook this week. Listener Mike just said, "Great episode!" ! I like that one. That was good.
Short and to the point.
Yeah, that was for our sitcoms episode last week. Listener Jason said, "I love Wings." This is how I read it when I saw the thing. Listener Matt says, "I love Seinfeld, but I actually prefer Curb Your Enthusiasm. I don't think Seinfeld aged as well." This one angered me a little, I'll tell you.
Seinfeld didn't moisturize as much.
Well, I know. Just didn't age. There's someone out there who's like, everything in Seinfeld could have been solved if they had an iPhone. Yeah, okay, great. Everything can be solved with an iPhone nowadays, so doesn't make a good show. Anyway, sorry. I'm getting angry.
Oh,
so, I'm sorry.
Tom's getting angry.
I know. Okay. Matt, Curb Your Enthusiasm is a good show. I like Seinfeld better, though. listener Katie, which we always get...
Conversation over.
Yeah, we always get comments from listener Katie. She's one of our biggest fans. She expressed some concern for why we're doing... superheroes. She's like, I don't know what. She kind of made the comment like, I don't like superheroes. She doesn't think it's going to be a good show. And she's probably right because they never are really good. But her husband Mike reached out to me and said, "Tell my wife your favorite superhero is Manchild." So apparently that's what he calls himself. And so, and that's what I attribute that picture I posted the other day with the kid with just lettuce on his face with the eye holes poked up.
Yeah, that was very creepy.
That would be I think would be what Manchild looks like. So Anyway, our friends at Not Another Millennial, remember them?
Yeah.
After I posted the sitcoms episode, they posted back. This was on Twitter. They said, "Hey, we covered sitcoms too," and they posted their article from March 24th, which was like 3 days before we did our episode. So I was like, "That was really cool." And they said, "You guys are great." So that was really nice. So thank you.
That was nice.
And you guys, I read their article. They're in some of their other articles. They're great as well. So I like following them. Listener Aiden says, "Tom needs a bumper sticker that just says, 'Tom is mean to Jim.'"
Oh my God! Can we make those?
I'm putting it out to the listeners. Someone make that, and I will gladly put it on a vehicle of mine, probably the back of my son's wagon. But either way, it's going on something, and I will put it on. So, okay, my favorite comment though, and this one I know I sent you. Well, it's a little longer. I sent you some of it. One of our listeners, Kelly, who's commented to our show many times. And we love her, said, "I just finished your sitcom episode, and it's making me want to go back and rewatch Scrubs, Jim."
Oh, yeah.
And wanted to go back and watch The Office and Goldbergs, which I've never seen either of them, which I was like, whoa, not even The Office. And then she asked if I really do have a Festivus party every year, and if why she's not invited.
Ooh, so, that's a good question.
Yeah. Jim's not even invited, so there you go. she said, "I love Seinfeld. I just watched it I just haven't watched it in a while. The first thing she ever bought Jeff, which is her husband, was a Seinfeld collector set from Amazon. But the but the warning at the beginning was in Korean, so Jeff never watched it and got rid of it. And then she goes, "You guys are so funny. You two and your bromance." And then she put a little emoji con of her laughing. So, but what I mentioned her comment, which is a great comment, but then her husband Jeff, who is a new listener because she liked our show so much, she got him to listen. Jeff just recently was in the hospital, had hip surgery, and he posted a picture of him in the recovery room, in holding his cell phone, and he's listening on iTunes. You see Tom and Jim's Top 5, and he's listening to the show, and he posted and said, "Listening to Tom and Jim's Top 5 during recovery, or recovering from surgery, listening to your show together, Tom and Jim's Top 5, fantastic." And then he quoted Alan Klein. It says, "Humor can alter any situation and help us cope at the very instant we are laughing." So I thought that was cool.
That's awesome. Yeah. I hope you're doing well. Hope you're doing better.
Yeah, Jeff. Well, hope you're doing well. I did send a message to him back. I said, "You get better and we'll go dancing." So that'd be good.
You never take me dancing.
Because of that one time, Jim, and you and I both know, and I don't want to get into it now in front of everybody, okay? You know what you did. Anyway,
I shouldn't have tequila.
No.
And I'm sorry.
And no one should.
And I'm sorry.
No one should have tequila. And that goes for our friend Donnie, who we talked about how he drinks tequila. He shouldn't have it either.
No. Nor should my wife. My wife is not allowed to have tequila.
No. No. Your wife weighs 47 pounds. She shouldn't have a beer. But that's neither here nor there.
It's just mean.
That's not mean. She's just mean. She weighs more than 47. I don't know. I haven't weighed her in a while. You know what? Can I just stop? I'm going to stop.
Yeah, okay. Please.
All right. I told you I was tired. All right. Well, let's get into this our show here, because we tend to run long lately.
Our last episode, the beginning of it, I said, "Yeah, we'll probably go 2 hours."
153.
2 hours.
153.
Let's not do that again. That's unbelievable.
Well, let's get into it, Jim. I won't even tell people how to reach us. I'll wait to the end. They know how to reach us already, but
I would like to say that I have been posting on the Instagram quite a bit lately.
Yes, you have.
And I think the only ones who are liking it are me and you on our personal accounts.
Mm-hmm.
And then random people that just follow hashtags that I happen to put in.
I noticed that.
Yeah.
I think our friend Donnie follows it.
Yeah, occasionally. He follows the Instagram and not our actual show.
That's fine.
Whatever.
We're slowly building a following, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, like I said, we just got the most comments we've had ever. So, hey,
that's true.
We're
something. I like it.
Yeah, we're something. All right.
We're something.
All right. Top 5 superheroes. Jim, any stipulations on this one?
Yeah, they had to be heroes.
Right. That couldn't be villains.
That was difficult. Well, villains were out, and the anti-hero category was out, which includes like a Deadpool, Punisher. Those are characters that are more the anti-hero, the characters that don't do heroic things, but you end up rooting for.
Right. And I like a Deadpool and a Punisher, but I basically said if they use guns, they're not a superhero.
Mm. Deadpool is one of my favorite comic book characters overall.
Great
and I
movie.
Buy a lot of his stuff. Great movie. Mm-hmm. I buy a lot of his comics, but he doesn't fit the category of superhero.
Right. As you can tell, listeners, right away, this is Jim's category. I'm not going to do well at this. Because mine's based on movies and 1960s TV shows. So it's going to go...
All of those are fine.
Right, right. So, okay. So let's get right into it, Jim. Let's start with our number 5 superhero.
Number 5.
And I will start because I want you to steal the show today.
Oh, no.
Is that
a lot
okay?
of pressure. All right. A lot of pressure.
Well, my number 5 is a guy who can run really fast,
mm-hmm.
and it is The Flash.
Okay.
I love The Flash. The Flash first appeared in a DC comic named The Flash, number 1, in 1940. I didn't see this was cool doing the research. I didn't realize some of these comic books were that old.
You know? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Created by writer Gardner Fox and artist Harry Lampert. And those names pop up a lot when you're researching comics, I noticed. And Yeah, he has super speed, and that this not only enables him to run really fast, but also translates into a number of additional powers. He can think, read, react at incredible speeds, just like Jim. Also, he can vibrate at such a speed he can
also
walk.
Also like Jim.
He can walk through walls. Super speed makes Flash super powerful! Exclamation point.
That should be his tagline. That's
I know.
Awesome.
I think it was. I think that's where I copied that from. I'm not sure. There have actually been several Flashes over the years. Now, if you ask even a semi-fan of comics, Jim, if I asked you who the alter ego of the Flash is, you would say?
You know what? I don't know his name.
Okay, it would be Barry Allen. Barry Allen. And that's the most famous Flash, the alter ego of famous Flash. But... there was also Jay Garrick was the original Flash. People don't know us. He got his powers by inhaling heavy water vapors after falling asleep in a science lab. He first used his powers to become a star football player. Cheater. Then later he began to use his powers to fight crime. Okay, and so that was the one in the 40s and stuff. But the most famous one is Barry Allen, who was a police scientist. And he was known as being really slow and methodical. Like, he would do everything really slow because he wanted everything right. So it makes it funny that now he does everything fast. Anyway, he got his powers when a lightning bolt hit his lab and splashed a number of chemicals on him. Becoming Flash was ironic, cause, like I said, because Barry was slow. Not slow at doing things. Sorry. I'm going to get in trouble here. And so then there was Wally West. I'll get back to Barry Allen because he's the most famous one. But then there was Wally West. He got his powers at a young age, the age of 10, when he visited his uncle's laboratory. His uncle was Barry Allen. He was already the Flash. He got some chemicals on him and gained his powers of super speed. Since he was so young, he became Kid Flash, which I don't really remember Kid Flash, but later on he would take over the role of from his uncle as Flash. And then there was Bart Allen. Bart Allen is Barry Allen's grandson. He was born with the super speed, but also fast aging. So when he was 2, he already appeared to be 12. And then once he got his aging under control, he became Impulse, another character I don't really know. But he would later become the Kid Flash and then finally Flash. So it's kind of a thing there. But the two things. The Flash, there's a cool TV show that's currently on the... what's that channel? I almost said UPN. That still exists, right? CW. No. Oh, my gosh. Which is a really cool show. I liked The Flash mostly because when I was a kid, I had a lot of the DC comics, not the comic books, but the toys, the action figures. And I love The Flash. Obviously, he's all red and has the yellow lightning bolt on his head, and he was super cool. And then in 1990, there's a TV show. It only lasted one season. It was on CBS. It was called The Flash, and it incorporated... he was Barry Allen's character, and it was the same thing. The guy worked for the police, and then he got super speed. I love this show. I mean, I was really young at the time. I was only 8. It obviously didn't do well. It only lasted like 13 episodes, but a really cool show. Really way better than any other superhero thing on TV at the time, at least live action. But again, nothing. That was in 1990, and then nothing from The Flash for TV or movies until 2014. So, a couple little fun facts. The main enemies of the Flash are called the Rogues, which you see that stuff in the comics and in the TV show. Rogues are Captain Cold. I like that name. Has a freeze gun, fitting. and therefore, he can try to stop or slow down the Flash. Other members of the Rogues include Mirror Master, Pied Piper, the Trickster, Double Down, and Heat Wave. Also really cool names. Good Flash, a couple fun facts. He's very good friends with superhero Green Lantern.
Mm.
They're besties. He often races Superman to see who's the fastest. It usually ends in a tie. He can move so fast he can travel in time. His nickname is the Scarlet Speedster. And the Flash is able to pass into other dimensions and parallel worlds. Part of his powers include an invisible aura surrounding him that protects him from air friction when traveling at super speeds. Because you got to think of these things when you're writing these comics, you know?
It's the worst, yeah.
So, of course, I liked Flash when I had the toys from the show Super Friends or the Justice League of America. I loved those cartoons when I was younger. And, I just love the Flash. And, I really like to run fast. So... I don't religiously watch the new show. I catch it from time to time. I'm excited for the new Justice League movie. The actor who plays the Flash is playing the guy in the movie, which is good. I like that continuity. That's mine. Short and
that's
sweet.
That's good.
Yeah. See, I had nice to go fast. I had to go fast there to get that one out, you know, because it's the Flash.
I get it. No, I get it.
You got it?
Because it's a superpower.
Right.
Yeah. I grew up watching more X-Men.
Okay.
Because of the Saturday morning cartoon.
Sure. Yep.
So I watched a ton of X-Men growing up, and I didn't really get into DC until I started reading comic books and like the second wave of reading comic books as an adult. And then I got into more DC. So I didn't really get into Justice League or any of those characters for a long time. And I know a lot of my friends who love the Green Lantern and say that it's an awesome storyline and stuff, but I've never read the Green Lantern. I don't know anything about him either.
Right. Well, like I said, mine's basically based on the show and the toys. The toys are awesome. When you go back to our, like, a Christmas episode and other things, like, toys are what got me involved in, like, I didn't read Ninja Turtle comics. But I love Ninja Turtles, you know. It was just like these cartoons, and then the toys are just a big commercial for kids. So, but that's how I got into it, because they're just the DC toys were, in my opinion, way better than the Marvel toys. So, back then.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. All right. Well, there you go. What's your number five, Jim?
My number five, like I just said, I grew up watching more of the X-Men.
Okay.
So my number five, I always thought he was just really cool and laid back, is Gambit.
Okay.
A very kind of a random character. He was in the Uncanny X-Men. He was in the cartoon that we grew up with on Saturday mornings. But he never really had his own thing. They did a 17-issue run in 2012 and 2013. They got canceled. He was in a run of... wasn't Uncanny X-Men. He was in another group, and they did a short run, but it died out, so they decided not to give him his own show or his own comic series because he didn't do well in a group. But I always thought he was just such a cool character. His real name is Remy Etienne LeBeau. If you don't get more French-Cajun than that name, I don't know what it could possibly be.
Remy!
Remy Etienne LeBeau.
Sure.
He was in a thieves guild. So he would pickpocket and do all stuff like that. And then he became a member of the X-Men, and nobody really trusted him because he was a criminal. And he had the kind of a love affair thing with Rogue, and he hated Wolverine, and they always hated each other. But his ability, he could mentally create, control, and manipulate kinetic energy. And he was known for carrying a deck of cards, and he could throw the cards and make them explode. And he had a bow staff like Napoleon Dynamite.
Nice.
He was just such like a cool, laid back character that I always really liked him, and I loved his French Canadian or his French Louisiana accent. He was played by Taylor Kitsch, who was in Friday Night Lights. Mm-hmm. He played him in X-Men Origins Wolverine briefly.
Yep.
And they have talked about making a Gambit movie next year in which Channing Tatum would play him.
Ooh.
That's right.
Magic Mike.
So Gambit was created by two of the best comic book creators possible, Chris Claremont and Jim Lee. And these two are still living legends in the comic book world. Claremont, I got to meet him at a Comic-Con. He basically created the X-Men. I mean, essentially, he wrote for the X-Men from, oh, geez, let me see if I can I know I jotted it down real quick for years and years and years. He was the longest running artist and writer for the Uncanny X-Men. It was 1975 to 1991 is how long he wrote for them. So a lot of those characters that we grew up with, he created. Some of them were created by other people. Stan Lee is one of the biggest, but Claremont did a lot of that stuff, and Jim Lee is one of the best artists out there. So those two created Gambit and some of the other X-Men that we know and love.
Nice.
So I'll talk more about both of those guys as we move on.
I see. Am I sensing a theme, Jim?
Sure.
Maybe.
Okay. Maybe.
I like it. Honestly, not too familiar with Gambit. I never wasn't the biggest. I shouldn't say this because my list is still coming up, but not the biggest X-Men fan. But mm-hmm. I'm a fan. Does that make sense?
Yeah, makes sense. Great. Makes sense to me.
Good. And that's all that matters. My number four, going into the... I'm sorry, were you done with Gambit?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I didn't mean to jump on you. I tend to talk over you a lot.
Didn't you mean to jump on me? Moving on.
Moving on. Plowing ahead. I'm going into the Marvel Universe here.
Mm-hmm.
And my number four is the Incredible Hulk.
Mm.
I love the Hulk. Jim referred to me last week as him and my friends would refer to me about 10 years ago as the little ball of hate. And I relate to the Hulk. I am not that ball of hate anymore. Although I had a moment at work last week, but I don't want to get into it right now. But it's because you planted that seed. It's your fault, just so you know.
Tom Smash.
Yeah. Puny. No, I love the Hulk. I grew up watching the reruns of the Lou Ferrigno Hulk TV show.
Oh, for sure.
Love this show.
I would watch like The Incredible Hulk and then Dukes of Hazzard.
Yeah.
Like back to back on USA when I was a kid.
They had that greatest song. The greatest super. No. Oh my gosh. My brother's going to be listening. He's just going, just say it! Anyway, moving on. Oh, that's a great song. I'll think of it later. Anyway, the Hulk first appeared in The Incredible Hulk number one, Clever, in 1962. And he was written and created by Stan Lee, who is very famous in the comics, if you ever heard of him. Him and Jack Kirby created him. And then
Kirby's huge too.
Yep, and then he was inked by Paul Reinman. And Lee cites influences from Frankenstein and Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde as his inspiration to create the Hulk, which is obviously exactly what happens. You know, when Hulk gets mad, he turns into, or when Bruce Banner is who the Hulk's alter ego is, when he gets mad, he turns into the Hulk, big green crazy monster. How he became the Hulk. Bruce Banner is a scientist. And he was working in his lab on the gamma bomb when he noticed a teenager out on the test range. Although he rushed onto the test site to push him out of the way, he got hit with all the gamma rays, and then Bruce was exposed to the gamma rays and then altered his DNA. And then when he became mad, he would turn into the Green Hulk. And that's how it happens. So he has to control his anger because he can't, when he's like that, he can't talk. No one can talk to him. The only one who can talk to him and calm him down is his girlfriend in the comics and then in the movies, Betty Ross. In the movies was played by, the one, the Aerosmith daughter.
Liv Tyler.
Oh my God. It's like my parents trying to figure out things. Liv Tyler, yeah. And so she's the only one that can calm him down and get Bruce to, come back to being Bruce. Her dad is Thunderbolt Ross, who works for the government, and he's Bruce Banner's and Hulk's nemesis, and he later on becomes the Red Hulk or something in the comics, but I didn't really know that much about that one. What I know him from is that he appeared in the Incredible Hulk TV show. It ran from 1978 to 1982, but the reruns I mean, that was before I was born, but the reruns run all the time. And I think they're still on, like, MeTV or Antenna TV or something like that, you know? Then there was a... In 1988, they had a TV movie on NBC, and Lou Ferrigno, who played the Hulk, Bill Bixby played Bruce Banner. They reprised their roles, and so they had Incredible Hulk Returns was the movie, and I remember watching this as a kid on NBC that night it came out. Later the next year, they actually had The Trial of the Incredible Hulk, a sequel to the same movie. I mean, these were not good movies, just so you know. but I've mentioned that one because that marked the first time Stan Lee appeared as a cameo in a Marvel movie. You know how in all the Marvel movies, Stan Lee has a cameo in them. It plays a different character. And that one, of all movies, not a good movie, that was the first time he was in it.
Huh.
Yeah. And then in the following year, there was The Death of the Incredible Hulk, which is another movie, the same, you know, they reprised their roles on that. I actually never saw that. But in 2003 is when they resurrected the franchise, and the movie just called Hulk came out, and that was when Eric Bana played Bruce Banner, and Jennifer Connelly played Betty Ross. And
Jennifer Connelly.
Yeah. Fan favorite. That was a good movie. I liked it. It was that was the start of making these movies extremely long without really good plots. But it was good. But it wasn't until 2008 when, you know, the Marvel movies started coming out with the Marvel Universe, where all these movies are connected, and Edward Norton played Bruce Banner in The Hulk, and Lou Ferrigno providing the voice of the Hulk in that movie. That movie was great. I absolutely loved The Incredible Hulk from 2008. That was a great movie. And then The Hulk returned in The Avengers, the movie The Avengers in 2012, but Edward Norton did not reprise his role as Bruce Banner, and so that went to Mark Ruffalo, who has played the Hulk ever since in all the other movies, such as Iron Man 3, Avengers Age of Ultron. He'll be in Thor, the new Thor movie. Thor. I always think I have a lisp when I say Thor. And then the other Avengers movies and stuff like that. So, I love the Hulk. I think it's just cool. It's just a really cool concept. Just the guy just gets mad. The fight scenes in the movies, especially now, are incredible. I remember always wanting a purple pants and rip them up like the Hulk, like from the original, you know, paint myself green. But I absolutely love the Hulk. I hope they would make a standalone movie with Mark Ruffalo as the Hulk. I don't know if they will. They got so many movies, these Marvel movies, I can't even keep up. There's so many of them. But the Hulk is great. And Lou Ferrigno, who's played the Hulk since, you know, the 70s movie, or the show in the 70s, still provides the voice in the Avengers movies and stuff like that. He'll provide when...
No, Hulk, I didn't know that.
Like in, I think when in the Avengers movie, I think the Hulk has one line. He says, "Puny God," or something like that, and that's Lou Ferrigno talking. But other than that, it's just him grunting and stuff. That's Lou Ferrigno's voice. So
I didn't know that.
There you go. See, I got to put a little trivia in here. Yeah. So he is the big ball of hate. I'm the little ball of hate. So there you go.
I'm taking notes as well. As you're talking, it's making me remember other things.
And? What'd you find out?
Well, not on that. It's leading to other things.
Oh, good.
Down my list.
Believe it or not, that song. You know, Greatest American... What is that song?
You mean The Million Dollar Man?
No. Oh, no.
Noonan. Miss it.
It's, believe it or not, it's the song. It's just, what is that song? It's a horrible show. It's a great show. It's one of my brother's favorite shows. Greatest American Hero. That's what it was. Oh, couldn't remember that. Anyway, he's not on my list. All right,
cool.
Let's move on, Jim. Okay, Hulk is my number four. Freaking A. Let's move on.
Okay.
All
right. My number four, superhero. I'm going to sneak this one in there.
Oh, a little jab still, to the left.
It qualifies on our entire criteria.
All right.
And I'm going Raphael of the Ninja Turtles.
Oh. I'm a little upset because if I knew I could throw Ninja Turtles in there, they'd be way 1, 2, 3, and 4.
It's a comic book superhero.
But okay, whatever.
How did I violate?
Nothing. Well, if you want to really get into it, we got to get my lawyer involved. But I'm not even going to go there. Anyway, yes. Go for it. Go for it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Raphael.
Yeah.
The Ninja Turtles originally all wore red. He is the only one who currently wears red. The Ninja Turtles. You're badass.
Thank you.
Yeah. And now Nickelodeon makes old action figures where you can buy all four wearing all red.
Nice.
You can find those. The first Ninja Turtles comic came out in 1984, meant to be a single issue. Creators Kevin Eastman and Peter Laird didn't have enough money, and they borrowed money from Eastman's uncle to produce the one comic. If you remember in the original movie, I can't remember what they're talking about at a particular address. And it's at the intersection of Eastman and Laird.
Nice.
Yeah. So this is what I love about the original storyline for the Ninja Turtles is that they basically just ripped off Daredevil to create their storyline. So the original storyline is that this ooze mutated the turtles. But what they don't tell you and how they came up with that was ripping off Daredevil because a young man was struck by a radioactive metal container while saving someone's life who was about to be hit by a truck. And then he got mutated. So they kind of ran with that and said, well, what would happen to the rest of it? Well, it went down a sewer and affected these turtles. And so they just kind of hijacked the storyline for Matt Murdock of Daredevil. And then they went even further, and I don't know how they never got sued. So Master Splinter's name is a reference to Daredevil's mentor, Stick. The Foot Clan was the Daredevil's enemies, the Hand. And the Ninja Turtles themselves ripped off of popular comics at the time, Teen Titans and the X-Men. So they just kind of took it as Teenage Mutants.
Huh.
So they kind of ripped that off and then threw in Ninja Turtles.
I'll just say right now, they're better at all of it than those other things you just mentioned.
Well, I totally agree with you.
Right.
So yeah, they did it as a one shot and then it got picked up. And I was watching AMC does a show called Comic Book Guys with Kevin Smith and all his friends. And they own a comic shop out in Jersey called Jay and Silent Bob's Secret Stash.
Is Steve Dave work there?
Tell him Steve Dave. No, the who are the guys that a lot of the guys who were in his early stuff in Clerks and different cameos are all in it.
Nice.
He basically just gave his friends jobs. Yeah, here, I bought the shop, just run it.
He's like Adam Sandler.
Yeah, basically. but Kevin Eastman came in there one time with his original, the very first sketch of a Ninja Turtle he ever did.
Oh, nice.
And it was in like 2-inch bulletproof glass. And he had it like wrapped in a diaper and brings it in and shows it to him. It's worth a ton of money.
It's protected more than the Declaration of Independence. Just ask Nick Cage. He got it out pretty easily.
Very easily, actually. Yeah, yeah. You'd be surprised. They sell it in the gift shop for $7.95.
Yeah. That was a documentary, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, continue.
No, that's pretty much
That's it. Well, good call. I mean, I love Ninja Turtles. It's one of my favorite cartoons of all time, my favorite toy of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm at a loss for words. I could have put them on here, but I guess I don't consider, because maybe the way I grew up with them, I don't consider them superheroes. I consider it something else, which I don't even know what that'd be, I guess.
Right, I know. Well,
Heroes in a half shell.
I was very narrow. I had my blinders on, and I was thinking Marvel and DC Comics.
Right,
and then something hit me, and I was like, well, Ninja Turtles are comic book characters, and they're clearly superheroes.
Yeah, yeah, they're mutants. So, just like the X-Men are mutants, you know? Well, good job, Jim.
They fight evil.
They do.
Sure. And my favorite one was Raphael. He was the darkest of the characters. He was the most troubled of the characters.
He had an attitude.
He had an attitude. He was, he had a temper.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, there's Raph. A little too Raph. Best line. Of the movie.
Yeah, that's a good movie. Oh, all right. Well, good job, Jim. I like that one. I like that little curveball. Usually I'm the one that throws you a curveball. You know, I'll drop wings on you or something like that.
And yeah,
like,
I know.
Yeah. Well, good. All right. Well, moving on. Moving on. Good job. All right. Number three. Number three. Ready?
Go for it.
Number three. First appeared in 1941. His real name is Steve Rogers, and it is Captain America.
Mm.
I love Captain America. I love America. I love captains. It works.
Even the crunch kind.
Uh-huh. Whoa. Yeah. Captain America's great. So this is another one of those toys I had. I loved it. And I actually had some Captain America comics. I had a few comics growing up, but this is one I actually did have. I did have a few Captain America comics, and I liked them a lot. The character was made, Steve Rogers was this little skinny little guy who wanted to join the war effort in World War II against Hitler. But he was small, slow, you know, not strong, he couldn't run fast, that kind of, you know. And so they had the super soldier serum, and that as depicted in the comics and then, of course, in the movies and stuff, that gave him a bunch of strength, super strength, and then he became Captain America. And so he could bench press like 1,200 pounds, he can run really fast, and of course he has a pretty cool shield made out of like some crazy metal. Of course, I didn't write that down, and I wouldn't be able to say the word anyway. That's his weapon. You know, that's his. He can throw it, and you know, like a frisbee, and hit people. You know, and he can block bullets. He can block whatever. But I love Captain America. He's super cool. He looks awesome. He's red, white, and blue, and that is really cool. Early on, so the serum obviously, like I said, transforms him to nearly a perfect human, being peak strength, agility, stamina, and intelligence. Kind of like what football players do now with steroids. So that's good.
Right.
And so don't use steroids, kids. Don't use them.
No, especially if you don't want to succeed.
Right. Yeah. If you want to be like me, a mailman in Duluth, Minnesota, don't use them.
you don't need to.
Right.
Don't need them.
Yeah. That's right. He actually possesses no superhuman powers. However, his body has, is mutated, and so it's at the pinnacle of human perfection, which no one in the world has. So his strength, agility, endurance, speed, and reflexes are superior to any Olympic level athlete, and his body has been enhanced to peak human efficiency. So.
Been there.
I know.
The body's a temple.
You're kind of like my Captain America, Jim. Okay. He's an expert at hand-to-hand combat, skilled martial artist, and so he's just good. He's a master strategist and acrobat and pilot, and he knows all the different military disciplines. He's fluent in Russian, German, and possibly other languages. We just don't know which ones.
It's very vague.
Yeah, I know. I forget where I got that one, but I'm like, possibly. So,
I'm also possibly fluent in many languages.
Right.
You don't know.
His shield is sweet. Apparently, it weighs only 12 pounds. Didn't know that. There's some knowledge for you. There's trivia night for you. You go out to the bar. How many pounds does Captain America's shield weigh? Now you'll know. And you'll get it right, and you'll get a free drink. What did I say? Sorry.
Just yawned. You're even boring yourself at this point.
Just yawned. Fine. He traveled. He has a cool custom built Harley Davidson that he drives around in, which is pretty sweet. Works for the Shield, as you'll see in the Marvel movies. But of course, the Shield has been around in the comics as well. There's a Captain America serial TV show from 1944, so that's kind of where his first on-screen appearance was, and which I've never seen. And then in 1990, there was a movie called Captain America, and it's on a lot of top lists of being one of the worst movies ever made. So you can look it up, but it's out there, and it's pretty bad. But it's you know, they follow the comics, the story and everything. It's the same thing. Steve Rogers is... he's made into Captain America during World War II time, frozen, and then later thawed out and then into modern time, just like the new movie. He's the same thing, just like in the comics, the same thing. And he fights the battle with the Red Skull, who's a who's a crazy Nazi guy, and you know, is the villain for him. And was intended to be released in theaters, but went to home video first. So
that's a good sign.
So basically, when if you watch it, you are the premiere, which is nice. It was called a major critical failure. This movie, which I feel bad, but hey, they bounced back. In 2011, Captain America: The First Avenger came out, and it is awesome. It's a great movie. I liked it. A lot of people weren't, like, of all the Marvel movies, like, they don't like the first Captain America that well. I liked it a lot. I thought it was a great movie. And of course,
I would agree that yeah. Out of that first wave of, like, building up to the Avengers,
yeah,
that the first Captain America was my least favorite of all of them.
Sure. I get that. Well, yeah. But then he reprised his role, and then they made the Avengers movie, and he was great in that. And then Captain America: The Winter Soldier came out, and yeah. This movie is incredible. Great movie.
Yeah. Shot in Cleveland.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
They'll shoot anything in Cleveland.
They shoot a lot of things in Cleveland because Cleveland gives good breaks for the movie budgets and stuff, but it's also can mimic New York City pretty easily. Really? Like, they just shot Fast 8 here, the last Fast and Furious movie.
Nice.
And a bunch of the Avengers movies.
Cool. Well, yeah. There you go. They probably shot Avengers Age of Ultron, he appears in, and then, of course, Captain America: Civil War. He makes cameos in Ant-Man and the new Spider-Man Homecoming that's coming out this summer.
That's supposed to be awesome.
Yeah, and then the new Avengers, there's two more Avengers movies coming out in 2018 and 2019. Basically, Marvel is going to have 48,000 movies by 2030. So, but I love Captain America. I like the simplicity of it. Especially during, you know, when it was made, is like, I'm Captain America, I'm fighting against Hitler, I'm the, you know, that I like that simplicity of it. Of course, I don't want to get into a big political debate here, but I like the whole idea. It's my favorite. One of my favorites. I love Captain America.
Also, Stephen Colbert on the Colbert Report had a Captain America shield behind him.
Well, there, on the shelf. Yes, he did. The shield is awesome. That was another thing. It was one of those toys I had, and the shield was super cool. The colors were cool. And then in the movie, you know, because these new Marvel movies came out and things can be a little darker, the colors might be off, or, you know, they still make it look cool, but they make Captain America look pretty badass in these movies. So, and that shield is cool. So, yeah. So there you go. Get yourself some super soldier serum, Jim, and you can be Captain America.
I'd like to think I already am, Tom.
Yeah. What are you drinking, by the way? What's your serum over there?
right now I'm drinking a Jefferson's Kentucky Straight Bourbon.
Jesus.
Yeah. It's pretty good.
You don't have to work tomorrow?
No, I got to work early, actually.
Perfect. Just stay up all night.
That's right.
All right. Well, there you go, Jim. So, yeah, Captain America defeated Hitler. I don't know if you knew that. It's in all the history books.
I did not. You know, I did not know that. I saw Band of Brothers and everything.
He's in there. You just got to look hard. Look, you know, he's quick, really quick. All right, Jim, what's your number three?
Number three. It's really hard not to do a superhero list and not have Superman on it.
There you go.
So I did Superman as my number three.
Okay. Well, can I just jump ahead? Superman's my number two.
Okay.
So you go ahead, though. You go, and I'll just fill in the gaps.
Okay, let's do it. All right. So I didn't know, I heard this, but I didn't really know until I flew into Cleveland last Sunday, and in the airport, there's a whole display of Superman being created in Cleveland.
Really?
Yeah.
Did not know that.
So the writers, Jerry Siegel, and the artist, Joe Shuster, went to high school here and created him when they were in high school in 1933.
Crazy.
Yeah, and you can go to their house. It's on the east side of town. I wouldn't recommend it after the sun goes down.
Okay.
It's literally blocks away from where Bone Thugs and Harmony grew up.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So
first of the month.
Just sightsee everywhere. Okay. But out in front, they've got, like, the Superman crest, and they've got, like, signs of the original comic book covers and plaques, and it's where they created it. Even the Daily Planet is supposed to be modeled after one of the buildings downtown, the AT&T building. It's supposed to look like the Daily Planet.
Nice.
So they sold Superman to Detective Comics, which became DC Comics, in 1938. He debuted in Action Comics number one in June of 1938.
Nice.
They sold all the rights for $130, the equivalent of $2,200 with inflation today.
Oof, that hurts.
That Action Comic number one sold for $3.2 million in 2014.
Oof.
So, kind of hurts a little bit.
So what'd they do with the rest of their life?
Just cried.
You could probably retire on $2,200 back then. Oh, no, that was the equivalent of what it would be today. Oh, yeah, they got screwed.
$130.
Yeah, they got
$130 in 1938.
Okay, yeah.
So I don't want to insult anybody's intelligence on Superman. I don't want to waste time going over his entire storyline. I got into Superman in the 1990s. My parents came home one day with the Death of Superman book.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, here's this book. Don't read it. Don't bend the edges. It's going to be worth something. Well, it's not worth anything because they made like 6 billion of them.
Right. I had one.
But I ended up, right. So I read it and Doomsday kills Superman. Mm-hmm. Technically, it's Superman issue number 75 in 1993. Now, DC has done a really good job of animating their comics, their big comics, into cartoons. Which is what animated means. So right now you can get one called Doomsday. That's this story arc of Superman dying. And that's one of the cartoons that they offer. So I didn't really read a ton of Superman comic books. I don't like ongoing comic book series that are going to go on for like 120 issues. I like, same with TV shows. I like a short-lived run that I know is going to be like 7 issues or 9 issues, and I can get through that. And last year they did one called American Alien on Superman that was awesome, and it's not his origin story, but it's when he was a kid, and each issue is like one short story of when he was a kid or a teenager or a young adult, and they're really funny and they're really smart. It's a really good series. And there was one episode I got of a Superman comic a couple years ago, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, and it was a crossover, and the Joker came to Metropolis and was going to blow up a bomb, and he's just on top of a building, and Superman's on top of a building talking to him, and the entire comic is just this really hilarious conversation between the Joker and Superman. And it's one of my favorite comics. It's the only actual Superman series comic that I even own, because I'll go into that later.
Yeah.
So there's also a town, when I was in college, I took a road trip to Miami from Illinois, which is a terrible idea. It was like a 19-hour drive, but we went through the southern tip of Illinois right before you get into Kentucky, and there's a town called Metropolis.
Just the tip.
Metropolis, Illinois. And in front of their county, or in front of the courthouse there, they have this giant statue of Superman.
Nice.
And then there's like, I think there's still phone booths, and everything in there is Superman oriented. And each year on the second weekend of June, Superman fans from all over the world come to Metropolis, Illinois for their Superman celebration. Celebrity guests are there from movies and television and comic books. And it's a 4-day celebration. They've got food and comics and crafts and merchandise and celebrity panels and auctions and all this amazing stuff for 4 days. So we kind of drove through that little town on a detour just to take a picture of the Superman.
Cool.
The local newspaper is the Metropolis Planet.
The Daily Planet.
Exactly.
Yeah, good.
And I wish I still had that picture. It's on like an old Nokia phone someplace, probably.
Nokia, nice.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, I have basically everything you have there. I got into Superman. I first got into Superman was from the movies in the 80s. Christopher Reeve movie, Superman movies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love these things. And of course, I had along with my Flash and Captain America, I had a Superman toy, the action figure. But the original Superman movie, which is 1978, but I saw it like we had it on VHS or something when I was young, and I first saw it, and I still love it. It's the theme song, that the John Williams theme song, Superman, is the greatest, and they continue to use that theme song in the new Superman movies that came out in 2006, and then later 2013, and then Batman vs. Superman. They use it because it's the greatest. It's one of the best theme songs ever.
Yep.
And so that's when I got into. Those movies, Superman, and then Superman 2, and Superman 3, Superman 4, we don't talk about. And a little known fact about Superman 4, starring young John Cryer from Two and a Half Men, if you're look out, he's in there. Anyway, Superman 3 had Richard Pryor in it, which was hilarious. In 2006, though, because in 2000, Richard Donner did their first Superman movie, and he was fired from Superman 2, and it was directed by Richard Lester. And in 2006, Richard Donner actually, because he owned the stuff he shot, he came out with a new cut of Superman 2. You know, the original came out in 1981. But he came out, and so it actually had almost 80% new footage that no one ever saw before. And so it's actually pretty interesting if you get to check it out. So there's that. And then in 2006, they rebooted Superman after years of trying to reboot Superman in the movies. With Superman Returns, Brandon Routh was the played Superman, and Kate Bosworth was Lois Lane. Kevin Spacey played Lex Luthor, which was the best part of that movie. The movie went on for about 14 hours. I hated the movie. I really did. I wanted to like it because I loved Superman. I do love Superman, so I really wanted to like this movie, but I didn't like it. But when Man of Steel came out, with Zack Snyder in 2013. Zack Snyder directed, but Henry Cavill is the new Superman. That's a good movie. Really good movie. So check that out. And then Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice came out in 2016. Of course, that's when Ben Affleck took over the role of Batman. And of course, it's going into the movie Justice League and all that stuff. I didn't like that movie either. But I do like the guy who plays Superman, so that's good. So hopefully the Justice League movie that comes out in 27 this year. I actually did see a trailer for it. Not bad. I'm excited, but you can say that for a lot of things. A little fun facts about Superman, Jim. What's his original name? We know him as Clark Kent. But what's his original name from the planet Krypton?
Oh. Hold on. Kal-El, is that right?
That's right. That's right. His father is Jor-El, and he's Kal-El. Jim mentioned already he was actually killed in a 1993 comic, which I had that comic as well. Doomsday killed him. He was later brought back to life in other comics. His middle name is Joseph.
Oh, Kal Joseph-El. That's
right.
That's clever.
Right. Apparently he's about 6'4" and weighs about 225. That's interesting. I thought, where do people come up with this crap? what is his headquarters called? Where does he go and hide on planet Earth when he needs to get away from it all?
The Fortress of Solitude.
Yeah. There you go.
Also where Bob Costas did the Olympics.
Yes. And he apparently put kryptonite in his eyes because Bob Costas almost lost his vision during the Olympics. Yeah.
I shared an elevator with Bob Costas once.
Oh, God. Did you get pink eye?
No, it was post pink eye.
Post pink eye? Good.
Yeah.
I also watched Super Friends and the Justice League and those cartoons with him. Yeah, I love Superman. One of the greatest. If we ever do a villain episode, Lex Luthor might make my top villains because he's one of the best villains to a superhero. Yeah, I mean, Jim's kind of said it all. I got it. That's my number. That's we'll move on, but that's my number two.
You know, we could go into if we wanted to make some money, we could start skimming money from a bank, just like Superman 3.
To launder money.
Yes.
Yeah, like through an intermediary. Shoot, forget it. You could just change. You could just go by Mike instead of Michael Bolton.
He's the one who sucks. Why should I change?
He's got some pretty good songs. All right. Well, Jim, my number two is Superman.
Okay.
If you haven't figured out. So what's your number two?
My number two is Wolverine.
Wolverine!
On that note, let's move on to number one. Wolverine. I love Wolverine. He's always been one of my favorite characters. I used to read comics when I was a kid, and then I stopped for like 15 years, and then I started recently over the last couple years again. And I just, I've always really loved Wolverine. He's, I like really dark characters, and his character is really dark. He debuted in one of your favorite characters comics. It was Hulk. Technically, it was Hulk number 180. He appeared in like the last frame of the issue, and he didn't actually come into and be an actual character until Incredible Hulk number 181 in 1984. That comic sells for about $3,500 to $4,000 right now.
Jeez. Just a drop in the bucket.
Right? I don't know why I don't have three of them.
Right.
The essential Wolverine comic was written in 1982 by Chris Claremont, who we've already talked about, created Gambit, and Frank Miller, who you know from Sin right. City and 300 and a bunch of other amazing comics. So those two did this essential Wolverine comic book, and it has the cover of it you'd recognize as this very iconic cover of Wolverine. And I went to a Comic-Con. Like I mentioned, Chris Claremont was there, and he was signing autographs. Everybody signs autographs at Comic-Cons. But to get like a Stan Lee, you have to wait in line for hours, then you have to pay him $100. Well, Chris Claremont, I got there pretty early to get him, so I was one of the first in line. And he was only charging $5 an autograph, where like somebody big will charge a lot and you can only get one. Well, Chris Claremont was like, I'll sign however many you want, and it's $5 a piece. So I took a copy of this Wolverine, and I bought another one for my friend Adam, and I had him sign both of them, and I mailed Adam his copy, and I kept mine. So if I ever meet Frank Miller, well, first of all, I've got like 20 things for Frank Miller to sign, but that would be one of them, to get them both to sign this. And that particular book is what inspired the movie The Wolverine, which I believe was the second one in the mix. The first one, the origin movie, was really just terrible, but The Wolverine was pretty good. And then I've heard that Logan is amazing. I haven't seen it yet.
I have not seen it yet. Everyone has been raving about it. And so I got to check it out.
And that movie is based on a whole story arc called Old Man Logan, which takes place in a futuristic world. But that's an incredible storyline with Wolverine. And they took elements of that to make this movie. You know, when I was a kid, and these are ones that I wish I had autographed, there was a story arc called Fatal Attractions that went over every storyline that Marvel had out at the time, like X-Factor and X-Men and Wolverine. And they all had like a holographic card on the cover. And this is one where Magneto ripped out Wolverine's adamantium skeleton because it's made of metal. So he tore that out of him. I think it was like Wolverine 75 or something.
That'll leave
that
mark.
Happened. And bro, oh boy. Well, he heals really fast. And then in Wolverine 100, they tried to fuse it back in. One of my favorite storylines was Wolverine and Gambit had a storyline in 2002 where they're trying to find, there was like a copycat killer of who was the
John Wayne Gacy.
Yes. No, the one we just listened to, the podcast, the last podcast on the left, Jack the Ripper.
Oh, Jack the Ripper, sure.
And it was like a Jack the Ripper killer, and they're trying to figure out who it is because everybody thinks it's Wolverine because he kills people in that fashion, apparently.
Right.
But I had that series. It was only like four issues, but it was done by Jeff Loeb and Tim Sale, who I'll talk about later too, who were two of my favorite artists and writers. There was a book called Wolverine Origin in 2001, 2002, and the art on that is incredible. And then in 2014 there was the death of Wolverine. They've actually killed him off and they haven't brought him back yet. There's some storyline runs in the Wolverine world, but it's not him. And I was obsessed with the death of Wolverine. It was only four issues, but I would go and buy, I'm like, just like you with movies and stuff, like I'm a sucker for packaging. So in comics they'll create like the normal cover, but then they'll create limited edition variant covers, and I'll go ahead and buy all of that too. So I would buy like the standard cover to read, and then I would buy like the expensive, awesome artwork covers just to have.
Right.
So I probably have like three of each of those issues for no apparent reason whatsoever.
Let me ask you
but
this.
That's, send it.
Does your wife know you have these things?
Yes.
Oh,
Yes, and here's how I justify it to her, because every once in a while I'll tell her what one of my comics is actually worth, and then somehow it pays off. It's like that person who gambles, who like thousands of dollars in debt from gambling, but they'll hit a jackpot on a slot once and think it paid off, and really they barely even broke even.
Yeah,
I'm kind of like that. But I have – Marvel did some Star Wars comics. They're still doing the run, but they started a couple years ago, and I bought issue number two. Issue number one I have, and that's like $60 right now. And then issue number two, I bought like the cheap cover just to read, and I bought an expensive cover to have, and the expensive cover didn't do anything. The cheap cover has Han Solo on it. Ooh. And that one's worth $80 now.
There you go.
See? And I bought it for $3.99. So I use that to justify our future child's college account, apparently.
I have a bunch of 1987 Topps baseball cards that I'm hoping are going to pay off soon.
I thought that too. I brought all my baseball cards back with me from my mom's.
Yeah.
And if it's not a Derek Jeter, it's not worth anything. In the 90s, if it's not a Jeter or an A-Rod, it's worth a dime.
Basically,
maybe.
Now you have to have cards like Mickey Mantle or earlier to even be worth anything now.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, they were fun to collect. Well, good, Jim. I'm a fan of Wolverine. Wolverine was my honorable mention, was my one that dropped off the list. And it just was because I didn't really get into Wolverine really until the X-Men movies, the newer movies that came out. So I couldn't justify there was one thing about Wolverine when I was a kid. There was this arcade in town, and there was an X-Men game. You know, it was one of those games where, like, you could get – if you had six friends with you at the arcade, which I never had that many friends at the arcade or ever, but you could get them all around. Everyone had their own control. Like, you get all six fight at the same time. I don't know if you.
Yeah, I remember
forget what
that
the game,
game
was.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if it was just called X-Men or not, but I was always Wolverine on that, and I love that. And so that was my first kind of like where I really, like, when I was like nine, you know, like, oh, this guy's great. This is, I didn't know anything about the X-Men. It kind of blew my mind, you know, but. Yeah, but yeah, that's my honorable mention. What are some that didn't make your list, Jim, before we get to our number ones?
Well, we talked about Deadpool.
Yeah.
The Silver Surfer. I always really liked him.
Yeah, he's lame.
What?
What?
Anyway. No, that's all I got. That was like the two that didn't make my list that I wanted to have on there.
Mine was Wolverine, and I like Thor. I always like Thor. I don't know why. I thought Thor was cool.
You would. You would.
Okay.
Actually, I really like that movie. The Thor movies were some of my favorite of the whole series.
Yeah. Okay. There's also an early 90s or late 80s Thor movie that was just as horrible as that Captain America movie I was talking about earlier. So do yourself a favor and not watch it. Okay. All right. Well, let's get into our number ones, Jim.
Okay.
So my number one.
We might have
the same one, you think?
Neither one of us have brought up this character yet.
And if you don't have him on your list, then you're just an idiot.
All right. Go for it.
All right. My number one is Batman.
Yes, okay. Thank you. You've completely redeemed yourself.
All right. And any of you people out there who are still listening to this show, which not many of them are out there, that don't think Batman's a superhero, can kiss me in the tuchus. All right? I don't want to swear. I'm trying not to swear so much.
Easy. Calm down there, Hulk.
All right.
You want to see Tom when he's mad.
Here we go. You can eat a shit sandwich. How about that? There it is. We got to start hashtagging that. I don't know why we're not. Probably because we're trying to be clean, but whatever. So Batman. Is Batman your number one as well?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. Good. Well, we can tag team this one a little bit then. Well, Batman first appeared. Go ahead.
I'm mildly obsessed with Batman.
I love Batman. So it first appeared in May of 1939, issue of Detective Comics, which of course was DC Comics later. Let's see here, Jim, you're gonna have way more because you're better than this, but obviously Batman is who? This is alter ego is Bruce Wayne. Yes, and Bruce Wayne is a philanthropist. I can't talk. Jim,
nope,
just,
you're gonna get through this.
No, I can't. Okay, I think I just dropped an effin. I just dropped an effin.
You did.
I just dropped an effin. Anyway, okay, fine. Bruce Wayne, he's a rich guy. Okay, he's Cape Crusader, Dark Knight. First appeared in 39. I mentioned.
In Detective Comics number 27.
That's what it was. I didn't have the number down here. I must have not wrote it down. Thank you. I freaking love Batman. I had the toys. I had all the toys. Where I fell in love with Batman was the 1960s Batman show that was just the campy, stupid show with Adam West as Batman. And but it's awesome, and it's still on, you know, TV today, or you can find it on Netflix and all that stuff. I loved it. I would stay up late because it would be on like at 1 in the morning, like after Saturday Night Live or something on Saturdays. I would watch, you know, same bat time, same bat channel, you know. but I love it. Batman does not have any superpowers, Jim, but relies on
high. But neither does Iron Man.
There you go. See, there you go. Exactly. But he relies on high-tech gear, such as the same as Iron Man, his martial arts, and his high intelligence. His special gear for fighting crime is often stored in his utility belt, which in the 1960s show, Batman's yellow utility belt was actually painted sponges.
Where do you get these wonderful toys?
Oh, nice. I'll get to that movie in a second. They can be quickly retrieved from his utility belt, such as a grappling hook and night vision goggles, bat darts, and batarangs. And I love that the person who wrote that, like, I was looking up some stuff on this, and they said batarangs, and in parentheses they put a boomerang. Yeah, I got it. I got it. Yeah. Perhaps Batman's greatest powers come from his assortment of super vehicles. Now that's where I just fell in love with it. The Batmobile. Freaking awesome. Every incarnation of the Batmobile is incredible, loaded with gadgets. Of course, then he has the Bat Cycle, the Bat Boat, the Bat Plane, and they're all stored in the Bat Cave, which in all the movies have been cool, even the TV show. I love the TV show one. Everything was labeled. Remember that? The Bat Computer, the Bat Hydrator, the Bat Coffee Maker, you know, whatever.
So, okay, if I'm going to say these comments because I'm already married. If I were to make these comments, I would never get married coming out and saying this. So when my wife and I, at the time she was my girlfriend, moved to Phoenix, we worked opposite schedules. So I'd come home at night and I needed something to do. So I was binge watching Dexter on Netflix and I would get bored and I wanted something to do while I'm watching it. So I started to make model cars, which I really enjoy doing. And I decided to make all of the Batmobiles.
Where's the downside here?
So I made the original from the 60s show.
Oh, I love that one.
And then I made the one from Tim Burton's Batman.
Best one.
And then I made the Tumbler.
Cool.
And when I make them, I don't just glue them together. Like, I paint each individual piece and put on all the decals and the colors and... I mean, they're pretty awesome.
If you're going to do it right. You know,
it's what I'm saying. I mean, it took me like 6 months to build all three of these.
Right. And she did not leave you?
Surprisingly, no. I don't think she could afford rent by herself.
That's
love. I think that's why I was still there.
Let's just be honest. That's true love. It's just that you're looking for someone to pay half the bills. So.
And right now I've got one bookshelf in our house. With those three models on top of it, and that's where all my comic books are. So I have one corner in a three-bedroom house where she lets me keep all my stuff that makes her want to divorce me.
I just picture these bookshelves with zero books on them. So they're just shelves. So yeah.
Shelves with comic books,
right,
yeah.
Right, right. That's a good stuff. Well, real quick, Jim, everyone knows you said Bruce Williams... identity is, or Bruce Williams. Did I say Bruce Williams?
No, I think you had it right.
Batman's identity is Bruce Wayne. He's a wealthy Gotham City businessman. There you go. And he is able to use the company's technology and the money to build his Batman gear. And so basically, if you're rich, white, and bored, you too can become a superhero. How did he become Batman, Jim?
His parents were shot in an alleyway, mm-hmm. being robbed, and he always had a deep-seated fear for bats. So he uses that image to scare criminals.
That's right. That's right. And there's a few different incarnations of who killed his parents.
Yeah.
I think the main one that most people go by is that there was a criminal named Joe Chill that killed his parents outside of a movie theater when they're leaving. There were Batman that when Michael Keaton's Batman and Tim Burton's Batman, they changed that a little bit where the guy who plays the Joker, that before he becomes a Joker, he's the one who kills, you know, so they changed the storyline. I don't like that either. They corrected that a little bit with Batman Begins. So
yes,
they corrected it totally. So, but yeah, that's how he becomes Batman. And the two most famous villains are the Joker and the Penguin, but he also has other awesome villains. That's another reason I love Batman. The villains are incredible. Joker and Penguin are awesome. There's Two-Face, Poison Ivy, Scarecrow, Riddler, Mr. Freeze, Catwoman, and Bane. Let the games begin. Are you not amused?
Can you just talk to me like that all the time for the rest of the time in our relationship?
Come
talk
out
to
from me like the, me. Come out from the shadows and let's play top five.
No, you could do that.
You didn't I. Joker. Let's go back to the Joker. God, let's talk about the Joker. Batman's arch enemy is a bit crazy. Something like a clown. Frightening to me. I specialize in poison and explosives. And then the Penguin, of course, is a criminal mastermind. Usually surrounded by henchmen and penguins. Those are the two big, most famous ones. But the Batman TV show, like I talked about, Jim, what's the best part about the Batman TV show from the 60s?
I would say the graphics, the pow and yes, bang and
the,
boom.
The fight scenes, yeah, pow, zoinks, yeah. Grf, yeah, those are awesome. I think I'll just post a picture of that on our Facebook and Twitter, just that, and I won't say anything, just post it and see what happens. Be kind of good. Anyway, it was such a campy, weird thing, but it became such a pop culture phenomenon. People still love it and stuff like that. So, but the Batman movies, Batman's been in tons of movies. There was an actual Batman and Robin in the 40s. Never saw them. But then, of course, the TV show. And then there was the TV show. There actually was a movie first, a Batman the movie, it was called. And it was basically the first episode of that show. And then the show went on for, I don't even know if it was more than one or two seasons. And then that was in the 60s. Then 1989, Batman on the big screen was revamped with Tim Burton's Batman and then followed up by Batman Returns in 92.
Great Christmas movie.
Great Christmas movie. Thank you. And then later, Michael Keaton left as Batman, and then Val Kilmer came on at Batman Forever. I like Batman Forever. I like it because Jim Carrey's the Riddler, Tommy Lee Jones is Two-Face. I don't dislike it. I don't hate it. But then later, in 97, Batman and Robin came out, George Clooney, and this is a horrible movie. Horrible.
Oh, God, it was awful.
Bat nipples. They had bat nipples.
Schwarzenegger was terrible in it.
Yeah. Oh,
it's Mr.
bad.
Freeze. Oh, that was a terrible
Poison
movie.
Ivy was... who played? Uma Thurman played Poison Ivy. It was bad. It was really bad. Extremely bad. So that movie was such a bad movie that they already planned, because Joel Schumacher took over at that point. They had a planned sequel to that, and they canceled it because they're like, we're not doing this again. So it wasn't until 2005 when Christian Bale came on, and the 2005 Batman Begins came out, and then followed by Dark Knight and Dark Knight Rises, which is one of the best trilogies, I think. If we do a top five trilogies, that might have to make the list. I'm not sure yet, but.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And then, of course, there's Batman appears in the Lego movie, and then Lego.
Oh, those are so good.
Then there's the Lego Batman movie that just came out. And then, of course, he's in Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice. He makes cameo in the Suicide Squad that came out last year. And then, of course, the Justice League movie coming out, and Ben Affleck plays Batman now. And word is I'm not sure how much longer he's going to play Batman, but... you know what? I didn't dislike him in Batman vs. Superman. I thought he did pretty good.
I didn't dislike him either.
There you go. Batman and Robin are normally called the what?
Dynamic duo.
The dynamic duo.
Can you say that as Bane?
Oh, the dynamic duo, come out of the shadows.
Thank you.
He never kills or uses a gun, but early on he did. So there's a little discrepancy there. He did kill people in the early, I believe, in the early incarnation or certain comics. But we'll just say he didn't. Let's just go with no.
Okay.
Considered the greatest detective in the world, he teams up with teamed up with Superman, and both it's from time to time, and both of them actually know each other's identity, but they don't tell anyone else. And in 1988, there's been three Robins. Of course, there's Batman and Robin. There's been three people, three characters who play Robin. In 1988, DC let fans vote on
this is classic.
Jason Todd's fate. The guy who played the second Robin, and they voted him to die.
Yeah,
which
is incredible.
Classic.
Yeah,
And he did, and they didn't. Jason Todd never came back. I don't think they had another Robin later on. So, yeah, there you go. Yeah. What else you got, Jim, on Batman?
That whole thing was that's like classic Batman.
Yeah,
when they had him do that, I'm trying to think of the name of that series. What was it? Jason Todd, something about family. It's like a classic storyline where they had the fans call in and vote and kill him off. So most of my stuff, anyway, most of my stuff is on comic books.
Yeah, I figured that's why I got the movies out of the way.
Yeah, well, you know, mine is comic books that inspired the trilogy.
Right.
So Christopher Nolan used most of the trilogy, used comic books to inspire a lot of that stuff. So for me, I got out of comic books for a really long time. And then my friend Adam, who I don't even know if he listens to this podcast, but one year for Christmas, he bought me the trade paperback books of The Walking Dead, which trade paperback books compile like three or four or five different comic books into a paperback book. So you don't have to buy the monthly issues. So he bought me some of The Walking Dead, the early ones. And I read that and I was like, oh man, this is awesome. I love the show. I need to read some of the books. And then I'm like, you know, it'd be cool to collect like certain ones. Like I want to collect all the books that make up Sin City, Frank Miller's Sin City. Mm-hmm. So I started doing that. And then I looked into Frank Miller a little bit more and realized that he wrote a lot of like really essential Batman books that I had no idea. He also wrote 300 that the movie's based on. So I got that book and started looking into his Batman stuff. And he did this like seminal book in 1986 called The Dark Knight Returns. And this is DC had like really tapered off sales on Batman and he was almost like just dying. And they hired Frank Miller to recreate Batman. So he, instead of redoing an origin story, he chose Batman to be a 55-year-old, almost he was retired superhero coming out of retirement. And that really springboarded and relaunched Batman into pop culture again. And this spawned a whole series. He did in 86, he did The Dark Knight Returns. The Dark Knight Returns. And then in 2001, he did The Dark Knight Strikes Back. And in 2015, and it's still ongoing right now, he's doing The Dark Knight 3, The Master Race, with a guy named Brian Azzarello, who's really good. And he's done a bunch of Batman stuff and some other stories called 100 Bullets and some really cool stuff. So those two are teamed up on this. And right now they just came out with issue number 8 and it's a 9-issue run. It's been going on for, I think, 2 years. So that's going to wrap up in the trilogy of Frank Miller's main storyline. But he's also done some other stuff. He did a Spawn Batman that was a companion to The Dark Knight Returns in 1994. They did a one-shot book in 2016 called The Last Crusade that was a prequel to the whole series. He did one in 1987. Right after The Dark Knight Returns, he did one called Year One. And that kind of is what Batman Begins is based on.
Right.
Batman is really young. He's just starting to fight crime. He gets his butt kicked a couple times. It really focuses more on Commissioner Gordon than it does on Batman, that particular book. And it's also a DC animated movie too. And they did a double disc on Dark Knight Returns as an animated movie. That's really cool. So he's done this whole saga, this whole world of Frank Miller Batman. Also did in 2005, he did All-Star Batman and Robin, which is not critically acclaimed. It's like the lowest tier that he did, but it's still better than most. So besides Frank Miller, who did really your essential Batman books that a lot of the movies are based on, in 1988, Alan Moore did a book called The Killing Joke, which Alan Moore also did The Watchmen. He did V for Vendetta. He did From Hell, some great movies that were based on graphic novels. The Killing Joke is kind of your beginning and end to the Batman Joker storyline. It's very ambiguous at the end, but Batman kills the Joker, hence the name. It ends the storyline between the two of them, but they do it in such an ambiguous way that you could just continue it on. You don't need to end their feud, but he really did. He stopped it right there. That's an essential book. I found it was a third printing from like 1989 of that book, and it's never even been opened. I bought it at a comic book shop. It's one of my favorite comic books that I own. In 93, there's a huge saga called Nightfall, but that's where Bane breaks Batman's back. And that, of course, happened in one of the movies when he was trapped into that horrible dungeon prison.
Oh, the bat is broken.
Thank you so much.
Yep.
Jeff Loeb and Tim Sale, who wrote Wolverine and Gambit series I talked about, they did a series. It was probably my favorite Batman book called The Long Halloween. That one is so awesome. And then they did two other ones called The Dark Victory and The Haunted Night. And Jeff Loeb also teamed up with Jim Lee, and they did a series called, or a book called Hush, that's one of the best critically acclaimed Batman books. And Lee, like I said before, wrote a lot of X-Men stuff with Chris Claremont. And if you are into the Dark Knight trilogy, go buy, it's a cartoon called Gotham Knight. It's one of the DC cartoons, but it's kind of a companion. It's a series of short stories that fall into the same world as the Dark Knight trilogy. It was done by all the same producers and writers, except Christopher Nolan. He was the only one who wasn't involved in that, but it's considered a companion to those movies if you're into those movies. And Mark Hamill, Luke Skywalker, does the voice for the Joker in all the cartoons.
That's true. He does.
Yeah, he does.
Yes. Although Mark Hamill, when he's on interviews and stuff, that guy's hilarious, by the way. If you ever get a chance.
Oh, he's awesome. Yeah.
Like on The Nerdist or other, I mean, everything he's been on, he's really, really funny guy. So, but yeah, he does tons of voice work. People always say, well, you never did anything after Star Wars. I'm like, yeah, check his credits. He does a lot of stuff. It's all voice stuff, but
yeah. Yeah.
Cool. Good. Jim, I love Batman. Now I just want to go watch Batman now.
So. I'm telling you, this is how it happened to me, because I love the Dark Knight trilogy.
Yeah.
Because to me, they're like fantastic movies in the real world that you forget are superhero movies. Mm-hmm. They're just great movies, and I was really obsessed with them. And then I started reading, like I said, Frank Miller stuff, and then it just spiraled way out of control.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of like our podcast each week.
at least my Batman obsession had some sort of direction.
It's great. Seriously, if you're out there, like, obviously Jim reads comics. I don't really read comics, and you've gone in and out of reading them and stuff. If it wasn't for those things, we wouldn't have these Marvel movies, which have not only continued on these awesome comic book stories, they have brought them to life, and they brought a new audience that never gave two shits about comics, you know, because they thought yeah. that was nerdy or something, you know, stupid stuff like that. They can actually take a comic book and show it on screen, and it looks amazing. So these movies that have come out have brought new life into comics, and everyone should, if you get a chance, read some of these things. They're awesome. So,
you know, and a lot of what, I'd say half of what I buy, I'm not even really interested in. This is terrible. I buy stuff that I want to read. But some of what I buy, I'm just buying as investments. Like, like a new series will come out, and I'll be like, well, I'm going to buy the first and second issue of that, because what if they make it into a movie? You know, it happened with Guardians of the Galaxy, where that was nothing. But if you have the first issue of that,
yeah,
it's worth a fortune now, because those movies are amazing.
Right.
They came. If there's a small series that comes out, I'm going to buy the first issue, right, just hoping that Marvel makes that into a movie. There's one called the Great Lakes Avengers right now. That's only a couple of issues in, but it's really funny, and I could see them turning that into a movie. And if they ever do, hopefully that'll cash in for me.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Well, they'll do it. They'll do it. They'll do anything nowadays. You know that.
If it makes money.
Yeah. Well, good, Jim. This was fun. This was hard. This is where you and I differ. Like we just mentioned, you know, I'm more of the movie. I like the movie stuff. And you are too, but like I don't do comics, but we could relate on this one. And I liked it. So this is fun. So thanks again to Maurice for suggesting this one. This was a lot of fun. I don't know. I had fun. Jim, did you have fun?
I had a great time.
I had a great time. The whole neighborhood knows
The whole neighborhood.
Yeah.
Hey, honey.
Yeah.
You think KFC is still open?
Yeah, it is. I'll get you a double down. Okay, so next week, Jim, we know people love us to get the nostalgia stuff going, which just had a little bit into it because I like talking about the toys and the old movies and stuff. But next week, we're going back to the music category, and we are doing our top five 90s albums.
My list is done.
I know, mine is too.
Well, I'm so excited.
Let's wait. I'm on pins and needles. I'm on over here waiting
like,
for your list.
Like for the last 15 years, I've waited for someone to come up to me randomly and just go, "Hey, what are your top five albums from the 90s?
Little did you know that little Tommy Skull would show up in your life, and we'd be talking about this on a podcast that we have 38 listeners. So
what's a podcast?
I don't even know. I don't even think we're doing it right. So great. Well, Jim, real quick, where can people get a hold of us and hear us?
You can hear us on Stitcher and Podbean and iTunes and wherever you get your podcast from. You can talk to us on Facebook and email at tomandjimstop5@gmail.com and Instagram and Twitter all at the same handle.
Yep.
Please follow us on Instagram. We're trying. I'm trying to post more. I'm going to post pictures of the Batman car models that I made.
There you go.
And some comic books and I got some action figures. I'm just start posting. I'm posting. I'm doing it right now as you're talking.
Yeah, good. Yeah, Jim's doing wonderful things over there in Cleveland. Please follow him. Give, make him feel better, please. So please follow us. You know, and rate us. Go on. You know, wherever you get your podcasts subscribe so they just download automatically to the device of your choice, and then give us a rating. It only takes a minute or two. You know, just. Say you like us, say you don't like us, whatever. Feedback is good, so we want it. We're going to continue doing the show, no matter if you want us to stop or not. So that's not going to change. But, well, good, Jim. This has been fun. I'm gonna close the show. We always have our theme song that I play at the end of the show. I am going to close it with this song called Superheroes by Simon Curtis. And so I wanted to give him a little credit. It's a really cool song, so that's how it's going to play out. So everyone, join us next week for our top 5 90s albums, and Jim, I'm going to call you back in 5 minutes.
Don't do that.
I love you.
I'm unplugging my phone.
Oh, I'll just show up on your doorstep. All right, see you later, buddy.
Bye.
Stand up, everybody, look alive. Say, come on, come on, come on. We're going to get it now. Hands up if you're ready for the fight. Say, come on, come on, come on. We're going to win. To the top and make yourself a superstar. You don't need them to believe in you. Get your mission unlocked and see it through. You've got all the power you need in you. Power you need in you. Power you need.